During the Jeep Celebration sales event at Moran Blue Water CDJR, you can test drive a new Jeep Grand Cherokee, Compass, or all-new redesigned 2025 Ram 1500. Located on 24th Avenue in Fort Gratiot, or check them out 24/7 at moranbluewatercdjr.com and ride the wave to savings.
All right, 10 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Monday morning. It has been far too long since we've talked hockey with Mike Doc Emmerich. He's on the line with us right now. It's great to say good morning, Doc.
It's pretty thrilling, isn't it?
Thrilling and it's stressful. Let's walk through these scenarios.
Is that a bottle of Maalox I see next to you?
Yeah, extra strength, absolutely. So we've got Washington, Philly, the Red Wings. We're watching all these teams closely. What has to happen tonight in particular?
Well, first of all, not to take the negative, but if the Red Wings lose, it's over.
Yeah.
So they can't lose. But there are other things that need to happen, too. Saturday was pretty thrilling, wasn't it?
Holy cow.
Pittsburgh starts with a one-point lead on Washington, Philly, and the Red Wings. And they don't play till 8 o'clock. And Philly wins. So at 7:30, they leapfrog past Pittsburgh and take the last wild card spot. The Capitals win. And so at 8 o'clock, Philly gets pushed out and the Caps take it. And then the Red Wings tie the game. They have the game tied from a 4-1 lead. It goes into overtime, and then they win. And so those three teams are tied, and Pittsburgh tentatively is pushed back, and then Boston beats Pittsburgh and leaves them back. And so that's where we are now.
Yeah,
so first
incredible.
Of all, yeah, don't lose the game. It's the biggest 36 hours of their season because they're back-to-back. They play tonight at home against Montreal, and then they go to Montreal. And even though Montreal is the second worst team in the Eastern Conference, as Philadelphia found last week, it's no layup. They went into Montreal desperately needing 2 points, and they lost to the Canadiens 9-3. Mm-hmm. So there are no givens here. But the reason I said that they've got to win this game tonight, because if they lose, the Capitals play the Flyers and Tuesday, and so somebody gets the points, and the Red Wings don't have the tiebreaker. The first tiebreaker, by the way, is the number of 60-minute wins.
Right.
And the second tiebreaker is the number of 60-minute wins plus wins in overtime, and the third one is any kind of win anyway, including shootouts. So we aren't going to get that far. I remember when I was in the American League, they had seven tiebreakers.
Wow.
To try to determine any ties and points, and the seventh tiebreaker was a coin toss. We never got that far. I'm not avoiding your question. It's these next 36 hours being essential, and you run the table, and then you look for help.
Yeah.
And that help needs to come from the Boston Bruins tonight, and then from the Red Wings themselves. Pittsburgh, by the way, is playing Nashville at home tonight.
Okay.
Nashville is pretty comfortable. They could drop from a first wild card to a second in the West. And the Islanders, who have been sort of lost sight of because they've been so hot, are going into New Jersey, and they could clinch a playoff berth tonight if they get a point out of that game. So there are several permutations that can happen in this, but basically the Red Wings need to do it themselves, and they need help. And so wear your Red Wings jersey tonight,
mm-hmm.
and have a little black and gold patch on it for the Boston Bruins.
There you go. That makes perfect sense. I'll tell you what, a couple of months ago, it was a foregone conclusion that the Red Wings were going to make the playoffs. They were red hot, back at the end of February. And then they weren't, and they've really had to claw their way into, and are still trying to claw their way into the playoffs here.
They had an 8-point lead, and they were in the first wild card.
Yeah.
And an 8-point lead can, you know what? You and Caleb did it.
I know, and I feel terrible.
Of course you didn't. I mean, the Red Wings had a 6-game winning streak,
yeah.
And then on. Then on Leap Year Day,
yes, February
29th, you guys got in the car, innocent as the driven snow, and you went down to Little Caesars Arena and were hoping to see the seventh straight win. And it didn't happen that night. And now 21 games have passed. And that six-game winning streak, you know how many wins the Red Wings have had since in 21 games?
How many?
Six.
Oh, jeez.
But all they need is two more and then a little help, and you might be going down to a playoff game. But there are a lot of uncertainties and ifs and everything else. But there have been, you know, there have been so many positives to this season, and it's too early to look back. But you look at what Patrick Kane has done, and 46 points and 20 goals and seven of them game winners, some of them tying goals late in games that forced overtime, and then they eventually won. I mean, they've got nine overtime wins, and unfortunately, it doesn't help them with these tiebreakers unless it gets into the next column, which is, you know, kind of a long shot. But the important thing is you got the game on tonight.
Right.
And we'll be listening to Ken Cal again, and if he has an exciting call tonight, like he did last night, then they're still alive.
Absolutely.
Because Washington cannot clinch tonight, regardless.
It's exciting. And it's just exciting that we're talking about the Red Wings being relevant, maybe making the playoffs, because it's been a while for these guys.
Yes, it has. And, you know, you go back those long years, and then, you know, I've talked with several of the Red Wings hierarchy over a period of time, and you understand their thinking when they got through 23 straight years, 24 straight years, and you start doing free agency and all of that because you want to keep that streak going as long as you can. They got it to 25. Okay, so now, you know, the 25th year, they sort of backed in because the last day, Ottawa beat Boston in Boston, and the Red Wings were in, and then, you know, they lost at Madison Square Garden that final day, but they still made the playoffs. And that with then they had pretty well exhausted their resources at that point, and they were starting to head down. And they've been down ever since, but they've been rebuilt, and their young players have been tremendous, and they've gotten themselves built back up, and the Patrick Kane thing was miraculous. I mean, most guys that go through the procedure on the hip that he had, they play a few games, and then they just can't go any longer. Well, he's played 48 already, and he showed no signs whatsoever of slowing down. So that's a hopeful sign for the future, too. He's only signed through this year, and they only had to pay him for 4 of the 6 months because he was injured until Pearl Harbor Day when he made his first appearance for the Red Wings. But he's just been fantastic. So there are some hopeful signs regardless of how this turns out. But it's great that it's a thrilling finish for everybody here. And remember, they had a 5-game winning streak. They had a 6. Yeah. They had 4 3-game winning streaks. And if they have another 3-game winning streak here at the end of the season, they could still get in.
Doc, who do you see as potentially being in the Stanley Cup Finals this year? Who are some teams that you think are going to make it to the finish line?
I don't know. It's not probably the most popular decision around here, but Winnipeg and Vancouver have had terrific seasons. But Dallas has been overwhelming in the West, and even though Florida has the best defense and is a very imposing team to play, they play like the Philadelphia Flyers of the 70s used to. They just beat teams up, and they physically, you know, they're the guys that put Dylan Larkin out. They play a crunching style of game, but unfortunately, when you do that, it's a long haul to get to the final, and you get there as they did last year, and they were just broken down.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be Dallas and the Rangers. And the Rangers have strong goaltending, really great depth at both forward and defense positions. So those are my two picks.
It's been a fun year, not just for NHL hockey, but NCAA hockey as well. The college title goes to Denver. They shut out Boston College over the weekend.
Gee, they're no longer tied with Michigan for most titles, are they?
Oh, that's
Denver,
right.
The Denver Pioneers now have 10, and the Wolverines have 9. Great season for some area players, too. Frank Nazar is from Mount Clemens, And no sooner did he finish playing for Michigan, he signed with Chicago, and last night he got his first NHL goal for the Blackhawks. So good for old Frank. Jacob Truscott, of course, is from Port Huron. He was on so many U.S. national teams that he wound up going to Northville High School and graduating there in 20. His parents, Charles and Lori, are still around here. He's got two brothers and a sister. Vancouver draft pick in 20. And so he has finished his 4 years at Michigan. Mark Estapa, forward from St. Clair, is a junior, so he's got another year potentially. His parents, Mark and Carrie, are teachers. He had six of the 32 shots in the loss to Boston College. That was the first time Michigan had been shut out in 73 games. Wow. So that was kind of odd. Oh, I talked to Dennis Stuckey, and he had traveled with Brandon Nerado, the current Michigan coach. Brandon's from Livonia, but he was a Port Huron Ice Hawk.
Oh, no kidding.
When the Ice Hawks were going here in the IHL.
Yeah.
And he remembered Brandon getting not only 25 goals in the partial season that he was in Port Huron, but he had a two-goal game in Fort Wayne in a seven-game playoff series that the Comets eventually won over the Ice Hawks. But he had a two-goal game in a win at Fort Wayne. And guess where Brandon started out the next season? Fort Wayne. They had seen enough of that guy. They decided we want him on our side. So that's what they did.
It's kind of like watching Patrick Kane in a Red Wing jersey because, boy, we hated that guy when he was in Chicago. And now he's everybody's favorite Red Wing. So it just goes to show you.
Yeah. Hey, there's some hockey up the street this week, too.
Well, yeah, the Red Wings are trying to claw their way into the playoffs. The Port Huron Prowlers are already in the playoffs, aren't they?
Yeah, they have a game. It's a best-of-three series with the Carolina Thunderbirds, who are always a powerhouse. But they have a game coming up on Friday, game one of a best-of-three. And you can get tickets, box office, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., Monday through Friday, or at www.mcmoran.com. The game is at 7 on Friday. That's game one. And then they get on the bus, and they go to Winston-Salem, and they play games two and potentially three down in Carolina. When I was in the IHL, our longest trip was Port Huron to Des Moines, and that was 14 hours. And when I was in the American League, our longest trip was from Portland, Maine, around the Bay of Fundy to Halifax, Nova Scotia. That was 14 hours. This one is about 11. So once that game is over, they shower and get on their travel clothes, and they jump on the bus, and they go 11 hours to play the next night. On Saturday night in North Carolina and potentially Sunday. And if it turns out well for them, then they'll come back and play more games. But at least you'll get a chance to see the team on Friday night at McMoran.
Ah, to be young and be able to play a hockey game and then sleep on the bus and do it all over
to be
again.
Resilient like that. Yeah. We talk about the Red Wings' resilience, and the guys up the street are just the same way.
Doc, I wish that we had time to talk about your beloved Pittsburgh Pirates, because they are off to a great baseball season, aren't they?
Yes, they are. And I'm thrilled that they are. But last year they started 20-8. And then the winds changed. And so as excited as I am about that, you have to recognize that it's a long road that doesn't turn. And so we can always hope. And the Tigers have had some strength in this early part of the season. And I just love Dan Dickerson's call that was on the news this morning.
Yeah.
So exciting.
Yeah, he's so much fun to listen to. Doc, always appreciate your time.
He's fun for you to have on, too. I love your conversations with him.
He knows baseball, and he's just an all-around good guy, as are you. And we always appreciate you being available to us, Doc.
Thanks for the call. Always fun to be on and always fun to listen to you and Caleb go back and forth. And isn't it interesting? You and I have had a call here this morning, and until now, neither of us have mentioned Michigan State.
Let's keep it that way.
Okay. Well, Caleb will be on, and he will mention it.
Yeah, I will. You know what? That is a program, a hockey program, that really had a major turnaround, and I was kind of sad
and
for the Michigan State fans.
It was wonderful to see.
Yeah, it really was. So.
And Marcus Stoppa from St. Clair has a brother, John, who graduated in 2020. From Michigan State. So
that?
There we got it in.
Doc, always a pleasure. Have a great day. We'll talk soon.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Be good.
You too. 1380 WPHM in Port Huron. Doc Emmerich with us on this Monday morning.